session. Item 7A, General Services, Solid Waste Division. Ms. Amanda.
Good morning. Amanda Kimball, Project Coordinator for General Services Sanitation today. We are back here to represent the first reading of the ordinances amending gate fees at the various transfer stations.
We're going through the official hearing process on this.
Nope, it's not a hearing. Still first reading.
First reading. Any questions from colleagues? Any public comment?
Should we not?
No public comment online? And nothing in-house. This is the first reading. Is there any questions from colleagues, or do colleagues want to make a motion on a particular on this first reading?
I think you ought to just present it quickly with where we're at now in this moment in time.
So after much conversation, I'm bringing you the updated ordinance to update the minimum fees from $5 to $7. The minimum trash can fees for 1 to 33 gallons from $3 to $5. 45-gallon bags to 55-gallon cans, $4
Ms. Amanda?
To $6.
I won't make you read the whole thing.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I know it was in the, I know the main subject from the last meeting is there wasn't a second motion. One idea was to add $90. Per ton.
Correct.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
And then we were considering this time as increasing the minimum fees for some of the other items.
Correct.
To try to share the burden for the haulers.
And then
the $80 versus the big one.
Yep, $80 for the tonnage, increasing the minimum fees, also increasing the cubic yard, and then the tires. Increasing them by $1.50 each, and then also start charging for electronic waste, UVs, and the batteries that we do not currently charge for, but they're a huge expense for the operator.
Yeah.
So to start charging for that.
It sounds like you kind of wanted to spread
the love,
however you want to phrase it, to where it's not just the haulers, like Scott Valley Disposal and those things hauling, but
correct.
It kind of increase it for everything in the we had considered the $80 fee, mm-hmm. Then he had to take a little bit of time to calculate the cubic feet, cubic yards, in case they weren't there.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say we have maybe two options before us, one being if the board were so decided to do $90 per ton and those other fees, or if the board wants to vote on this ordinance for the $80 per ton and then the other minimal increases on other ones?
I think with conversation from the last two meetings, it was to bring this current one as a first reading and take off the table the other two suggestions that I brought, but to present this current ordinance to level out the fees across the board.
And we just wanted a little bit of time too for the public to be able to see it online and have their.
Correct. And I went and I emailed all of the cities and the haulers that I had communicated with prior to let them know what was coming to you today. And I didn't receive any response. I know Waireka Transfer is here today.
Oh, okay.
Seeing them, but I didn't get any other feedback after sending this current suggestions out.
Ms. Wendy?
We did get in the clerk's office, and I did forward it to the board, an email from City of Tule Lake.
Oh, okay.
Correspondence. I'll find it here and make sure. It was, I think it was follow-up from your email.
Yes. I got it, like, I think at 11 o'clock, that last meeting.
It was later,
when
yes,
we were
when I got
already
it.
Here.
But they did share concerns.
Yes, they concerned about the $90. They as well couldn't sustain such a large increase if we did go with the $90 increase.
All right. So that was in regards to the prior considerations.
Yes. I have not got anything back on the current consideration that I bring to you guys today.
But you did email them the current.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. Any questions from colleagues? Supervisor Howe?
Just a quick one. If you reiterate the time of implementation again, because I really typically for my haulers, that was a big thing, is having sufficient time to be able to pass the cost along.
Yes, if you guys were to pass the first reading, Wendy would then do advertisement into the newspaper, and then we would do a public hearing at the second reading. And then if you guys pass the second reading, I believe 30 days after the second reading, it would go into effect. So second reading, I believe, would be November 1st.
Correct.
It would be 30 days after that, so this wouldn't take effect until December 1st.
The other question I have is, now that we're charging for electronic waste, is there any other place to take it besides having to drive all the way to the dumps? You know, it's quite a journey from most of my district to dispose of a computer by driving it all the way to Irica.
Yeah.
Would we consider some drop-off points in remote areas, maybe?
We can look into that. We would have to see where things are available. Right now with the county's issue, there's these big, huge cardboard box that we buy from the people who pick up the e-waste. The transfer stations have covering right now. We also, for the county, sanitation pickup for the county's recycling. We're working on putting a cover, but we would have to have an indoor facility in order to take the e-waste and stuff like that.
Well, I'm speaking more of a maybe a drop-off and collection point.
Yeah, we would have to definitely look to see where is available. Essentially, we have to find an enclosed place and see who would be willing to work with us in that. But that's definitely a great suggestion.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
So tell me how this works in with our request for proposals for the new operator for the transfer stations.
Right now, we have a meeting. I was able to get out letters for the people who did put in the bids last week. We are going into essentially negotiations with Waste Management. They bid on both sites. So we will have a meeting next week to talk to them about the suggested updates and some other questions that we've had after reviewing their proposals. And hopefully we'll be able to come in and be able to find a happy line of what works for the county and what works for the new operator.
So what we're doing today is going to take effect till when that contract's up, or beyond?
It'll be beyond. So this is just updating it to what the current suggestions are. Unless we come back and ask for an ordinance update again after the negotiations. But right now, this is, if it's approved, this is what it would be going forward.
So, correct, because what I didn't see, because I've been, there's just too much going on with this, is, you know, one of the things that I've always struggled with is the current operators of Greenways program. You know, I think, you know, if it's one thing to increase fees, it's another thing to give people value for what they're paying for. And I, you know, we have plenty of opportunity because we have the location, and I'm using particularly South County and North County for a green waste program that's taking far too long to get a low cost because nothing's free here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm hoping that that's going to be incorporated and moving forward because, you know, it's one thing for people that go to the transfer station and only cost them X. It's another thing to charge them X plus. And no way to offset that somehow.
Yeah.
And I'll use the example when my constituent, after a fire, doing cleanups, cost me $60 a pickup load. That's outrageous. To get a $5 pickup load, no one's making money there. But again, you know, we need to, again, put value out there for the people that are doing it. When we talk about the haulers, you know, and we talk about offsite stuff, you know, there's a cost associated with that, and someone's got to pay for that. And I think it's high time that we all realize that. Everything's going up, and we have no control on a lot of that stuff.
Correct. The green waste is also a topic that we're going to discuss with the potential new operator. And they have a lot to offer to the county, so I think we'll be able to work with them to bring in new opportunities
Did the Pelleters put in a bid? Because, you know, I will say this much for them, you know, for all the complaints I've always heard, you know, they at least got to a 2-week Greenways program.
Yes, they did. They only bid on Mount Shasta.
Okay, thank you.
Sir, has there been any questions? Or?
No.
I would entertain a motion on this ordinance.
Move to approve.
And that's the recommended motion, correct?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'll second it. Oh, do you need this real quick?
No, no.
Wait a second, Gary. Just some computer. Enjoy some computers.
What we talked about last time.
Yeah. You remember Lewis? Okay. Right.
Yep.
Right.
There were changes to the $80 per ton, mm-hmm. and then the other changes came in depending on that 80 mm-hmm. to 940 per cubic yard. Those adjustments were all made per the recommendations at the last board meeting.
Correct.
We have a motion and a second, and then we'll do go and do a roll call vote.
Okay, Supervisor Haupt?
Said enough. Aye.
Okay, Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren?
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye also.
Thank you. So we've got this for second reading on 11-1-2022 for the public hearing as well as the second reading, and like you said, that would be effective then the 1st of December, the 30 days. Okay, we'll bring
Thank
it back.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll now go into public hearing protocol. We'll open the hearing for item 1 of the Williamson Act. I'll hand it over to Supervisor Valenzuela.
The first one is the...
There's some people in the audience here.
BOS?
Yeah, BOS might be real quick, but there's just some people here. For the
oh, okay, so we're not going to 8A, correct?
Yeah,
it's 8B at the moment?
8B. We'll come back to that one just because so people can get a hold of up here.
No worries.
Supervisor Valenzuela. Fortunately, I have to recuse myself from the Williamson Act.
Sir, no, I just bought a big branch. I think I'm going to recuse myself, too.
Thank you, Supervisor. Here, there's the whole protocol. Here's the agenda.
No, I got it. Okay. All right. We're going to open up the hearing here regarding, we're going to start with B, public hearing, consider adopting resolution for proposed changes to Siskiyou County guidelines for establishing and administering agricultural preserves and Williamson Act contracts. County Council, looks like you're
going to
speak first.
Sure. The proposed changes are pretty substantial, and we're still working, we're still dotting our I's and crossing our T's and making sure the proposed changes are completely in compliance. And for that reason, the recommendation would be to continue it. It indicates that the recommendation would be continued to October 18, but I would prefer that it be continue to November 1st, just because I don't want to have to come back on the 18th and ask for another continuance. We still haven't finalized it. We're still going back and forth, but I would think by November 1st we would certainly be able to move forward on it.
I see item D is also for November 1st, so we want to make that in sync anyway, right? Are we dealing item C? Are we going to be dealing with item C?
Yeah, D was actually. November. Oh, sorry. I thought it was December. Never mind.
So
are we continuing all three?
Yes, but we'd like to give you an update on item C.
You want to give us an update on item C or D?
C.
C.
C. Okay. So, recommended motion at this point, since I'm opening the hearing. First of all, does anyone want to speak on it? Anyone? Seeing none, we're going to continue this to November 1st. Is that acceptable?
Sorry.
Okay. Or excuse me, Deepa.
Okay.
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to continue B till November 1st. I'm going to deal with item D now, so it's the same thing. Item D, we're going to continue to November 1st.
And we're opening that as well?
Yep.
Thank you.
Do you want to comment on item D? Anyone? Okay, we're going to continue that to November 1st. Let's look at that. We're going to open up item C. Ready?
This is Bernadette Sosa, assistant planner. So the Parsons request originally was to amend an existing Langston Act contract. We had requested for that to be continued as there was an open code case on the property. We were directed by the board to come up with a plan to including the cost. So we found the least costly route for the property owners to maintain their business on their property. Really, first, would it be necessary for the county to update their guidelines and rules regarding Williamson Act. There isn't a path forward for them unless that's done. Should that be done and there be a compatible use included in that update that would allow for the processing of lumber and wood on site, and potentially to have the business of the commercial appellate on site. They do have the path forward of approximately about $4,200 through county fees and recording fees to do a zone change of their property, and that's a preliminary evaluation. That is without it being routed to outside agencies, so that's in hopes that we will be able to find a CEQA exemption that would apply. So that's what we found. That has been emailed to the property owners, and we have not received a positive response back from them on that. So we would request that it be continued again until December, so the county guidelines could potentially be updated, maybe to include something that would help the persons keep their business on their property, and then give them the opportunity to apply for their use permit and zone change.
Okay, so this could get continued also November 1st? Or December?
We requested December.
December, okay.
December 13th, the second meeting. Thank you.
Yes, please. The property owners are here, though. I'm not sure.
Any comment?
Yes. Can I comment?
Yeah, absolutely.
My name is Audrey Parsons. Our main goal here is to stay within the Williamson Act. It came up that we have the firewood business. We're trying to work out to where we could have a business license to be able to continue doing that. First and foremost, we need to stay within the Williamson Act. We can't really afford $4,200 in order to continue our firewood business. Where we could quit that, but we need to stay within the Williamson Act. That is our main goal here. That, Matt, is that all we need to say? At this point, that's where we're at.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so this getting continued to December, the board okay with that?
Just December 13th.
December 13th. Okay. I think that takes care of three public hearings. Right, Wendy?
Yep. So the fourth one, we can include Supervisor Chris.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Valenzuela. Right. I'll open the hearing then for personnel. Item A, Mr. Cummins.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Melissa Cummins, Deputy County Administrator. This morning, still morning, yes. The item we have before you is the second reading for the proposed amendment regarding the Board of Supervisors' salary and benefits. We did have the first reading on September 6th. The redline version and the final version was included in the agenda packet for your review.
Any staff, I'll consider that the staff report. Any correspondence?
Not at the clerk's level.
Any reports or arguments from other department heads, other departments? Proponents? Seeing any?
Shown on the line.
Opponents?
Shown on the line.
Any public comment?
No comment.
And none in house on any of those either. So there'll be no rebuttals. Since this is the second reading, I'll close the hearing, Ms. Wendy.
Correct.
And discussion or entertainment by a motion by board members. Is there a motion to approve?
And that was the recommended motion, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
We have a motion. And I'll second.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Thank you,
Ms. Cummins. Another one to sign.
Yep.
We will now recess as the Board of Supervisors and convene as the Flood Control Water Conservation District. Any public comment?
Sure, no one.
None in house. Consent agenda?
I apologize to the chair.
We have one public. Thanks for catching that. Mr. Jocelyn, I see your hand raised. We'll take care of things on our end as best we can. Oh, Mr. Jocelyn, I see your hands up.
Battery 100%.
I'm
done. Mr. Jocelyn, if you could just start over again. Sorry for that.
Nick Jocelyn, not Shasta, California. I was going to comment on the consent agenda item.
Absolutely. Go ahead and comment on that.
In regards to the Grenada Irrigation District conjunctive use letter. I attend GID meetings and I've heard minor discussions about this, and then at the last Sigma meeting in Montague a couple days ago, it's definitely the idea of some managed aquifer recharge came up, but Laura Foglia mentioned the need to find out where that would need to take place before projects sort of got pushed forward, and so I was a little concerned to see a site and an entity identified already before anybody has looked to see whether the site is appropriate. And I think with respect to disadvantaged communities and their water supplies, it's an extremely important issue. I think there are funds which could be used to explore the issue further, especially, I think, as I read the letter, it mentions that, you know, wells may or may not be impacted. So I know one of the things Laura mentioned was that DWR projects don't usually go forward until wells are identified as being dry, or that there's some threshold. So I'm just trying to understand how this letter gets pushed forward for a project where a site hasn't been identified and really hasn't even been talked about, especially in the public at all. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jocelyn. Wishes of my colleagues?
Move to approve.
Motion to approve.
One second.
And a second. Roll call.
Okay. Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Okay.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Chris?
Aye. Okay. Minute approvals. Do any board members need to recuse or abstain from?
I do on D.
You do on D? Okay. We'll take them separately.
So we'll
just
do Hang on, we'll do 9C first. 9C. I've received no corrections for those.
Also move for 9C.
And that was to approve?
Approve, absolutely. Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay, Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Sure.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Chris?
Aye.
So D?
Move approval of D.
I'll second.
Director Haupt?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Chris?
Aye. Minute approval on September 6th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Sure.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
We will adjourn as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District to Venus County Service Area 4. Any public comment online, Ms. Haley?
Sean Middleman.
Men in House, minute approval?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
We'll adjourn as County Service Area 4. Reconvene as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. Item 11A, PSA Area Agency on Aging.
Yes, we at the clerk's office reposted an appointment for one member to an unscheduled vacancy on the PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging Advisory Board. This would be for a 4-year term effective the date of the appointment, and this was due to Kenneth Ryan's resignation, which happened some time back. But we did repost because they PSA 2 did send somebody of interest that they approved to serve on the board. It would be from Alinda Diane Smith, and per the bylaws, the clerk's office did reach out to PSA 2 Executive Board and Advisory Council members regarding her application. I did hear back from Marie Ingram and Lydia Gill, who are supportive of her appointment. And beyond that, that's just the one person that could fill that spot.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay. All righty, Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
No.
And Supervisor Chris?
Supervisor Chris will be in line.
Okay, thank you.
Item 11B, appointment of delegates and alternate to CSAC Board of Directors for 2022-2023.
Yes, this is our annual appointment for the CSAC delegate and alternate. Last October, Supervisor Valenzuela was appointed as delegate and Supervisor Chris was appointed as alternate for the 21-22 association year, and they are looking for somebody again for 22-23.
I think it's still on.
All right. No further discussion.
Appoint both again?
Yes, ma'am.
I'll second that.
All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye also.
Okay.
Minute approvals for?
I've got a bunch of them. So I've received no corrections on any of them. If you need to, if you haven't read through them all, we can certainly continue some. I know some are a little bit bigger, but I'd like to get caught up.
What are the wishes of my colleagues, sir?
Yeah, I have to.
So do
excuse yourself from number 9. Okay.
So B being the August 9th, okay.
Does any other colleagues have to recuse from any other letters? We might do A and then Miss Winnie, would you mind if we did A, C, D, E?
That works for me.
And then B separate? Colleagues are fine with that? All right. Saves a lot of motions.
Move to approve A, C, D, E.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Move to approve item B.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Abstain.
Thank you. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. I'll go ahead and do Board of Staff reports. Ms. Davis, or any staff reports?
Yes, Angela Davis, County Administrator. I am pleased to announce that we have in-house today our new PIO, our Public Information Officer. Allie Stillwell Cooter?
Yeah.
Do the dash?
Cooter, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so she is here to observe, and we just welcome her on board. She actually came from public health. So she's familiar with the county, and so we are absolutely overjoyed to have her in the office.
Well, come on up, say something.
Okay. Thanks for having me. First off, Allie Kutzer, PIO. So first off, I want to say thank you to Angela. The transition has been smooth, flawless, and I'm very excited to get on board. Work with all of you as a team and individually, help with the incidents, kind of get our county on the map and create a fun space for everybody to look and learn and be a part of our team. So,
if you don't mind me asking, do you have any kind of background that lends itself to this?
Sure, yeah. So my background, I have a PR marketing degree from the University of Oregon. I spent many years in the private sector with startups and then moved into the corporate commercial real estate, working as a PR marketing manager and client manager for a team of real estate brokers. And then when I moved here, I was thankfully taken under the wing of Shelley Davis at the Public Health Department, and she just opened the door for me to get my foot in and get my hands dirty with the public health kind of world with no background. But the program that I was in was the oral health program. So we did a lot of education, outreach, coaching, a little bit of case management, things like that. So I was able to apply my kind of PR marketing in this sector while also learning the ropes of kind of the dental and medical world in our county. So.
Well, I like the fact that it's something that was completely different from what your background is, so I think that adds value for as you move forward.
I agree, and I think that's something I could say about my past, is it's kind of, although PR marketing can kind of lend to all these industries I've been in, my startups my experience with the startups was with products and baby products, so there was that whole world, the real estate and county government, so I think it will lend to kind of a new set of eyes on things in a creative sense to kind of attack our goals. So, but I'm very excited to be here, and I can't wait to see what we can do as a group. So,
sounds good to me. You weren't being interviewed again, but you passed it.
Oh, thank you. Flying colors, right? Thank you.
Any other staff reports, Ms. Davis?
No, sir.
Thank you. That's exciting to have that.
Yes, it is.
Very exciting to have that position. That's wow. Is there any with supervisor reports? You're going to.
I was going to say, I'm speechless, but I'm never speechless. I just want to say that, I was overwhelmed by the support at the dinner Saturday night for the rebuilding of the community center in McKinney fire. And we just sold 350 dinner tickets. I think half my district was there, truthfully, and it was really rewarding to see folks and work with them. Thank you, both Supervisor Hogan and Supervisor Chris for being there. The latest was they raised $26,500 that night for the community, and the community was overwhelmed. I was a bit overwhelmed too, and it was a fun night, really a decent night. And it really showed to me what Siskiyou County is all about. What people do when they come together. Anyway. Now I'll shut up.
Sure, as your balance, William.
I was just down in Orange County for a CSAP finance work, which is a little bit separate from the CSAP organization itself. It's, for lack of a better term, we'll say it's part of the funding. They're doing very well, which will lead to hopefully some membership dues stabilization. In theory, I want to thank our tax collector who got us on the Smart Easy Pay. That's one of these programs that's going to help the finance corp blossom a little bit more. It is a way for people to pay their property taxes monthly instead of all at once type of thing. It's really evolving.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, thank the tax collector for stepping up and getting us on board with that.
Yeah.
gave me a little bit of goodwill and brownie points down there. But, you know, for me, the big piece of it is being involved, is knowing, because we do pay membership for CSAC, let's keep that stable without seeing big increases. There is value there, as Supervisor Chris, as you well know, being involved. So always looking at it from that point now, that's the
And then Supervisor Valenzuela, I tried to, I had a meeting come up, so I missed it, but the work you did on the grants.
Yeah, yeah.
For CSAC grants. And,
we had the kickoff.
You had the kickoff. I apologize, I couldn't be there. I was going to try to log in for that.
But you can go online. There's, it's
an exciting thing that you did.
It was just a kickoff. There'll be some more presentations. It's wildly popular at this moment in time.
Yeah.
People looking at it.
You did good work there. I mean, that's a nice thing to see. Mrs. Davis.
County Administrator Angela Davis. I also wanted to mention, because Supervisor Valenzuela did not mention, but because of his influence and his dogged determination as the president of CSAC, he did have AB 1717 vetoed by the governor. So that is a massive accomplishment. So I just wanted to publicly say thank you to Supervisor Valenzuela for his influence.
Since we have the time, I'm going to tell you the quick story. I was down at RCRC, and I get a call the night before for asking for me to attend Governor Newsom's bill signing in San Jose, and it had to do with the Care Corps, which I'm not, not something any rural county has for. And so the role of president, I'm going to bite my lip and go down there. I took the opportunity to talk to Jason Elliott, who had given me his personal cell phone number, and I had Supervisor Lopez from Monterey County and Jacqueline Long Hernandez from CSAC staff. I cornered Jason Elliott and conveyed to him my concerns. He set up a meeting with me, him, and another staffer that oversees all these bills. The governor has a massive amount of bills. It wasn't me individually. We all, RCRC sent in an approval letter. Plenty of the rural counties, Monterey County, as it so happened. But that's the beauty about being in the role that I am, is I took the opportunity to do that. Again, I would like to think that I was just the straw that broke the camel's back. It wasn't me alone. Obviously they got to the right conclusion, and I'm grateful for that. So I just want you to know that I'm always, always working at it. It's, I've always, and Supervisor Chris, you see the value of being down and being involved. I was disappointed that more of my peers didn't, don't get involved from the policy piece to it. You see the blurbs from CSAC. We have to comment on some of this stuff. Otherwise, it just, it skewers another way. So thank you for bringing that up, Ms. Davis.
Sure.
I'm not one to pat myself on the back, but I tell you, I've been very lucky so far this year as president. The grant, coming up with the grant idea is probably one of the big ones for me, too.
Yeah, that's going to be a big benefit for us.
Yes.
A lot of killings.
Well, the rule.
Nothing less.
But. Yeah.
Supervisor Ogden?
Tell me about your RCRC experience. What did you get value out of that?
That's nice you went down there, too.
I did. Well, other than the fact that the wine tasting was really good.
That's not why we were down there.
The networking was amazing. I learned so much, and other than, the obvious broadband conversations that we had. The trails information was great. I had a number of different conversations with many people that I was introduced to since then. So there was a lot to learn, overwhelming a lot to learn.
Part of my job when I was down there, Laurel Harkness was down there. I know Jill Drinkwater from Governor's Go Biz. I introduced Laurel to a lot of people. She was instrumental in getting us in the Sierra Nevada Conservancy.
Right.
Angela Avery was there. There's plenty of opportunity, and it is the ultimate opportunity to network with peers and find out things that you don't necessarily know about or on the same page or not. And so, that's the value. And I think Supervisor Chris has seen that firsthand, how that works out.
Yeah. It was great to meet people that I didn't know I knew. Actually, I was sitting at a table with a person that I lived around the corner from in Southern California, which was really interesting. So yeah, great connections, a lot of networking, and a great way to be able to move forward here with people that we'll be able to, I think, advance with. So it was a great opportunity, and I appreciate Laurel and Tanya and Jill pushing me to go. And you?
We need to get our pictures that we...
I know.
To our new PIO.
I will make sure to do that.
Yes.
I will make sure to do that.
So our basket was given away, raffled off, and so I went and got the person that won the basket and had the pictures.
Yeah, I will make sure to get that done today.
Thank you.
So tomorrow, or Friday night, I'll be at the Siskiyou Women in Business annual event. Saturday, I will be in the cloud at the Apple Harvest Festival and Pie Contest. I believe I'll be judging pies. I think. I had a great time in Montague on Saturday. That was a great thing that we were all able to do. I think I bid up a couple of items and landed up. I had a bidding war with Fernandez. On one dessert, it went for over $400. Luckily, I didn't buy it. lots going on these days. The OHV project I've been working on for a while for SCORE is slowly moving forward. Had a meeting with CHP a week or two ago, and that is, we're making progress, so that is a lovely thing. That's about it.
Thank you. Attended the fundraiser for Clemens River Community Center. Unfortunately, I missed, but I wanted to compliment Public Health for having the Two Lakes Services Fair last Sunday. It was I didn't make it, unfortunately, but appreciate them coming all the way out to East County for an underserved community to try to help out. It was very well done. Volcanic Lake is the scenic byway we met yesterday. Things are proceeding pretty well there. And then for the fire chiefs, it came up at a board meeting. It would have been maybe 2-3 months ago that a couple of supervisors are meeting with a select group from the Fire Chiefs Association about proposals moving forward on trying to either unite or better serve the community. There's some efforts, Stories of Valence, where they may be aware of it. South County, thinking of combining some fire departments down there. One of the issues comes back is that those gaps, those areas that are not under a fire protection district, and how we serve, but also how we balance out that if you do live in, you know, rural America, you're going to have rural America responses to, and just that reality that people face when they move into a rural area. But we're moving along pretty well there. Coming up with some plans. One idea is, of course, improvements for training volunteers, which brings in a lot of volunteers into a department. You look at the departments that are pretty successful. As a lot of you know, managing volunteers is probably a difficult thing to do because they're not employees. Volunteers are just very difficult. But if you have as best a training as possible in classes, that does bring in that core group. So trying to invest in setting this core to maximize the volunteers is what we're going after at this point in time. And I'll have some homework assignments I have to run by, I think, Ms. Davis and County Council to get back to the fire chiefs. So I can't remember where they are at this point. I've got to write down somewhere. With that, we will go into closed session.